Chapter 16. Nigeria High Commission, Northumberland Avenue, London, England. July 5th, 2017. 5:08 a.m. The world returned around them suddenly. The leather-bound Weyland Drillic beneath them dissolved to nothing, leaving only a wispy trail of grey smoke and the faint smell of sulphur in the air as they fell and hit soft carpet. Shigidi barely noticed its disappearance as they struggled to their feet. It seemed like Alistair was the only one to acknowledge it with a groan, although that could have been caused by something else, as he stood holding the glowing piece of the brass head of Obalufon in each hand. Shigidi took in their surroundings. They were in the same office, that much was obvious. But it was different. For one, there was no longer a light edge to everything, even though Shigidi could still perceive things with far more clarity than he used to. The window was open, and a solid beam of young daylight had stabbed its way into the room at a hard angle, throwing a cluster of linear shadows around the entire office. The walls were still cream-coloured, but they were now covered with chalk drawings of icons and symbols and images, some of which Shigidi recognised from his past life in the Orisha Spirit Company, and some from the more recent visions that had plagued him since the brass headdress had pierced his chest. There was no watchful picture of the demure Nigerian president here, but the large executive desk was still in the same corner. Atop it were an assortment of things Shigidi was intimately acquainted with: a small calabash of water, some pieces of tortoise shell, an old laptop computer, some cowrie shells, a stack of documents, dried frog skin, kola nuts, and a gourd of what he presumed was palm wine set on a mound of red clay that reminded him of the old Oyo Palace grounds in Ile Ife, the spirit side of which was directly linked to Orun. The items on the desk were all tools of the trade for an acting Orisha Spirit Company employee. And sitting calmly behind the desk with his eyes closed was the company executive, Olorun. He was wearing a white, flowing agbada, and his neck was saturated with an assortment of beads and cowrie shells and brightly coloured precious stones. His eyes flew open, blazing white and hot like twin stars. The moment they settled on Shigidi, the aurora around Shigidi's chest streaked out like pulled rubber and clamped onto Olorun's hand so rapidly Shigidi didn't notice it happen until it was over, and the extended end of the light stream had formed something like a knot in Olorun's open palm. He gripped it and tugged. Noma and Alistair were knocked to the ground as Shigidi was dragged chest first across the room, bumping past them. He scudded forward along the ground as if the light was a ratchet and crashed to his knees in front of the desk before Olorun. "You failed," he said, his voice sounding like an earthquake but edged with disappointment. "You were supposed to bring the brass head to me intact." Shigidi tried to explain. "There was an accident. We were..." But Olorun was already shaking his head. "No, no, no, Shigidi." Each repetition sent an even more intense vibration through him, like he was at the epicenter of an old god's earthquake voice. "What is he so upset about, huh? It's bad, I know, but it can't be that bad, can it?" Noma sensed the gravity of the situation. Olorun's typical jovial tone was completely absent, and she jumped in where Shigidi had been cut off. "There was an accident. We were attacked. Section 6, probably, but we made it out. I know it's broken, but we brought it to you. All three pieces of it." She turned to indicate Alistair with a jut of her lips, and he hastily dropped the other two brass pieces on the carpet. "See? It's all there. We brought it to you, and that was the deal. That's what matters in the end, isn't it?"
"No,"
Olorun said. "It would have been better for it to be lost, stuck in London's spirit space, than this." Confused, Shigidi asked, "What have we done that the great Olorun cannot fix, huh?"
"What indeed?"
And that answer, more than his twin star eyes or his earthquake voice or anything else, chilled Shigidi to his core. Olonu's star-white eyes flashed sharply, and Shigidi began to convulse, seized by the flow of power through the light that connected him to the supreme Orisha. The strange images that had been trickling into his mind now came in a flood that overwhelmed him as he saw it all so clearly as though he was in them. They coursed through his mind with every spasm, and they looped and looped and looped until he could no longer see Olonu's face in front of him. The images were no longer images, but had taken on the more complete texture of experiences. And he experienced them in rapid succession, each making more sense to him than they had before. Lightning streaked across pitch-black sky, and he knew it was the first spark of light that had strained against the primordial void of the universe, because the hand that painted the lightning across the sky was his. Red sand was poured into an endless ocean and piled up high until it was an island, and he knew it was the first tectonic plate that had been willed into existence, because it was by his will that it was done. A black and red rooster was set down from the heavens on that first mound of red earth, poured out from the white shell, the same original red clay that Shigidi now realized his body had been molded from. By a careful hand he knew was his own, and it scratched away at the sand until it was a continent, each scratch of its feet a fulfillment of his own commands. The images, memories, experiences continued to come. Bleached bones from a variety of creatures, a ram, a purple swirl of nebulae, water buffalo, red mud-capped mountains, flags of stiff white cloth burning with blue fire, the sun pierced by a spear, an ancient man in silver armor sitting on two clouds. These were Olonu's divine memories. Shigidi was inside them, and now he understood them all completely. Olonu was the principal agent of creation. Every member of the Spirit Company had been created at his command, all of them aspects of his original form, brought into existence by the faith of the first Yoruba people. Their stories and their beliefs, all the orishas, their symbols, their wars, their rituals, their petty squabbles, all that mattered to them were little more than the fragments of the original Olonu, imbued with different parts of his ash, his divine energy, like the various wavelengths of light, simultaneously in conflict and harmony with each other. From the abundance of his first form, he had instigated them all. Shigidi continued to convulse on the floor as he came to realize what was happening to him. Olonu had bound up a small aspect of himself in the headdress of the brass head of Obalufo, a piece full of aggression and thirst for war, his conquering aspect. It was the aspect which had once been completely embodied by Ogun, the god of war, until it was recalled and given to Obalufon Alayemor. That aspect was now merged with Shigidi. The merging of two aspects of the original Olonu had triggered the visions that saturated Shigidi's mind. Olonu's wartime essence was now embedded in Shigidi's blood, his clay, his imagination, all of that divine potency now entangled with his spirit particles, by accident. In a burst of clarity, Shigidi understood how he had come to be in his previous life as a lowly minor god, delivering nightmares on request. "I am nothing more than another aspect of Olonu. A unique expression of elemental divine energy, his ash. I am his creative and formless essence, his flexibility and adaptability. I am the fullest expression of the divine subconscious." Shigidi had journeyed far and suffered much, only to finally return to the source of his own existence, the one who had distributed himself into the entities that now loved, hated, fought, honored, resented, betrayed one another. "But I am more than..." The thought was cut off before Shigidi could complete it, as he suddenly stopped convulsing, and his blurry vision slowly came back into focus, stabilizing just like the light bond between them. He was face to face with Olonu, Olodumare Olofin Orun, chairman of the board of the Orisha Spirit Company, first of the Orishas and ruler of the Yoruba heavens in all his revelatory glory. Shigidi could see him clearly for the first time in his truest form, with true understanding. Understanding who he was, where he came from, why his war aspect bonded to Shigidi so completely in that accident, but perhaps, most clearly, Shigidi understood what separating it would now do to him.
Sundering.
"Do you see now?" Olonru said.
"Yes," Shigidi croaked. His throat was raw, like it had been rubbed with sandpaper, and he was still a bit dizzy.
"You understand?"
"Yes."
"Then you know that I cannot retake what is mine without destroying this version of you," Olonru said, with sadness in his voice. "When my essence leaves you, it will break you apart. The sundering must occur at the sub-spirit particle level. It is the only way to collect all of my war aspect that is bonded to you. It is unlikely you will ever be whole again, not in this form. There is no other way to separate."
"No!"
Nama's cry came from behind Shigidi, piercing their conversation like a spear. It was full of pleading, but anger too.
"We did everything you asked of us. There must be another way to extract it. We almost died because of you."
She paused to buttress her point by indicating the stump where Shigidi's arm used to be with a jut of her jaw.
"There must be something," she continued more frantically. "There must be something you can do. Once you get back to Orun, surely you can do it. Your creation, your spirit sight, your realm. I can even help you. Tell me what you need, and I can help you."
"It doesn't work that way. There is only one way to obtain it from him now. Only one process."
Olorun's voice had gone gentle, like a tremor, but his gaze was still focused on Shigidi.
"If you could make him, and I could remold him, then surely between us we can find a way to take out your essence without destroying him or his memories."
"I created him a long time ago, when I was far more potent, far more complete. The source that he sprang from no longer exists, huh? And what is left is even less complete without that war aspect which is in him now. I'm sorry, Shigidi, but you should not have let it come to this. The essence was contained. All you needed to do was bring it back here, as I told you, in one piece."
Olonru shook his head.
"It's a pity. You have both done a lot for me since I came out of retirement, and we have had a fruitful business relationship. But it ends now. I need as much of my war aspect intact as possible in order to accomplish what I have set out to do. To oust Shongo and bring order and stability and progress back to the company, I must have the will for war and the completeness of power for battle. Do you understand?"
Shigidi did, and he could not think of anything to say, so he remained silent.
"How do you respond when the one who created you says he must do something that will destroy you?"
He reached into his own mind, trying to sort out the threads of his life so far, to select the memories and emotions that had mattered most. There were precious few with true value. Almost all of them included Noma and Olorun.
"So much of my time was wasted."
Olorun shook his head again, and the beam of light between them oscillated laterally before resolving back to its straight-line form, like a once-weighted tightrope or a plucked guitar string. There was something bitterly ironic about the situation that made Shigidi crack a thin, bloody smile. "Shongo and I are both aspects of Olorun. I am only here because Olorun saved me when Shongo was about to destroy me. Now I am about to die because Olorun must destroy me
to get what he needs to destroy Shango. His bitter smile didn't last long. He turned around and caught the forlorn look in Noma's eyes, the shock and frustration and sadness hanging in the corners of her mouth like rusty fish hooks. I think I know what she wants to say, because I want to say it too. But neither of them spoke. The moment had moved beyond words. Alistair had retreated to the corner of the room and was sitting there hugging his knees like a scared schoolboy, completely silent. It was probably for the best. He had reached the extent of his usefulness to them, and the situation was far beyond his knowledge or his magic. I am sorry, Olorun said. The piece of the brass headdress embedded in Shigidi started to slide out, and he could feel it grind against his chest. It didn't hurt, which didn't surprise him. He no longer felt any pain at all, not even the leftover pain of losing his arm. Besides, it hadn't hurt on the way in either. Although it was a strange sensation, like being awake and fully conscious during his own surgery, the white light between Shigidi and Oloru intensified, brightening until it was almost blinding. And then it erupted with new colors, becoming a kaleidoscope. I was right, after all. It looks just like the Aurora Borealis. Olorun's wartime aspect began to leave Shigidi's body in a slow release of pressure, like the end of a long embrace. Weight descended on his shoulders and his arm. The throbbing pain pulsing through his stump returned. The weakness he had felt back in London Spirit Side had returned, and for the third time since he met Nama, Shigidi was certain that he was going to die. He bit down on his tongue to stop himself from crying out. Don't draw this out. Just get it over with, he wanted to say. But he was suddenly too weak to muster the words. His body sagged as if it had been anchored. No! Nama said in a voice so low it was only a little more than a whisper. She scrambled to the floor until she was beside him and held his head in her hands. She was slowly shaking her head as she pulled his face against her. She felt warm and tender, and the heaving of her chest was almost soothing. It distracted from everything else. He could feel her heart beating like a dun-dun drum beneath her sternum. Wet drops hit his head, and it took him a while to realize that they were tears. She was crying. Shigidi had never seen Noma cry. Her hands were shaking, and it took him even longer to realize that the hand he had left was shaking too. But he was not shaking from an overabundance of emotion like she was. He was shaking because he felt cold. So very cold. No, this is not happening. I'm not going to let you die, she said. She lifted his head up so that they came nose to nose and forehead to forehead. Nama was careful not to let the light that bound Oloro's hand to Shigidi's chest make contact with her skin. Shigidi inhaled her breath as she said, I don't care what Oloro said. I'm not going to let you die. Shigidi didn't know what to say, and even if he had known, his tongue would not have been able to form the words. He was so depleted and weakened, even more than he had been when his lightning-gloved arm shattered in Magog's neck. They stayed there for what seemed like hours, even though Shigidi knew only seconds had passed. But his receding mind had made a cocoon of the moment, because they were together. Truly together. That's all he'd wanted since he first realized he loved her. He didn't know when it happened. There had been no grand moment, no sudden elevation of feeling. Instead, all the small moments had built up until existence had become noticeably warmer when he shared it with Noma. It was everything, all coming together. The fact that she'd given him the gift of a new body and freed him from his contract. That ever since he'd met her, He'd felt good about himself for the first time since his creation. That she saw something special in him. That she laughed with him and kissed him and consumed spirits with him. That he'd felt free when he was with her. And he felt able to do so much more than he could before. Capable of taking on any challenge and able to go through anything. Even his own impending destruction. And then, suddenly, she pulled away.
Wait!
Her eyes were full of excitement.
Olonu, wait, please!
She turned and looked him right in the eyes, like they were equals. You said there is only one way to do this, and that once it is done, it is unlikely that he will ever be whole again. So, does that mean it's not impossible?
Olonu's twin sun eyes flashed again, but his palm stayed up. The river of light continued to flow, but the current of it slowed.
No, it is not impossible, he confirmed. Just extremely unlikely.
And what could make it possible? Nama asked.
Faith, the All God said slowly. The same thing that initiated us all, that gives all of us sustenance. The same thing that created the Orishas in the first place. Faith. Belief. Absolute certainty in a thing, as impossible as it may be. Absolute faith in his own existence and form and memories and abilities and relationships as they are now.
Olong's voice had changed. It was still a tremor that made Shigidi's jaw feel like it was in the grip of a grinding machine. But the impact was reduced, slowed. And there was a change in tone, too.
Is that admiration?
If there is enough faith in him, enough for every spirit particle component that constitutes him to be focused on the same thing with such absolute certainty that when I am done distilling my essence from him, he can spontaneously return to the same space and time and form in the same configuration with all his memories intact. If there is sufficient faith, then perhaps he can survive.
Olonu continued, you must understand this is not a matter of conscious control. If it were, I would simply will it to happen. Faith is not a God thing. It is a human thing. We did not will ourselves into existence. Do you understand what I am telling you, Norma?
Yes, I do, Norma nodded, wiping the tears from her face. He needs an anchor belief.
Indeed, Olaru agreed. Something he believes in so deeply that is not just known, it just is, in every element of his being. Something that is so certain that every particle that makes him what he is will gravitate back towards it and crystallize around it after the sundering.
Olonu twisted his fist and the light between them vibrated, gaining strange new colors at the edges, where it dipped in and out of the surrounding air in unsteady arcs.
Do you have such a thing? He asked,
finally turning his question and his gaze to Shigidi.
Do you believe in anything so deeply?
Norma turned to face Shigidi. Her eyes were telling him what she was thinking before the words left her lips, and he understood completely. The gentle arcs of her eyelids were telling him to trust in what they had developed between them, as shaky and uncertain as it had seemed only a few hours ago. The wet filminess that glazed her eyes was asking him to have faith in the love that she had refused to acknowledge until he was half a step from death's door under the raging London spirit sky.
I love you, Shigiri. I have never loved another like this. God or man.
She paused as tears began to roll down her cheeks again, like lovely liquid pearls.
And I know you love me too. I believe you love me enough to find your way back to me. So focus on that love. Focus on me. Hold on to me and don't let go.
She was shaking. The tears continued to fall. It was the most vulnerable and open he had ever seen her, and he wanted nothing more than to fall into her and swim in her outpouring of emotion.
Hold on to me, she pleaded.
But there was no need to plead. Shigidi had decided he could do it the moment the first tear fell, because he knew that he loved her, and of that there was absolutely no doubt in his clenched, pierced, but unbroken heart. He managed to nod once, and that was enough. Together they turned to Oloru and answered the question he had left suspended in the air like a feather. Nona mouthed the word, yes. Oloru grunted, considering for a moment. Then he tilted his head to the side and his face almost creased with a smile.
You are sure?
Yes, we are, Nona said, taking Shigidi's hand.
We are, he echoed finally, finding enough strength to make the words. As they left his lips, the warm certainty of her love rushed to his head like a gust of warm air, filling him with hope that it could, would, work.
No, it's more than hope. It's certainty.
Very well. So be it.
Oloru closed his eyes again, and the kaleidoscope of light, binding his palm to Shigidi's chest, tightened like a rope before coruscating into a dancing rainbow-colored stream of solid light. Shigidi's fingers went numb. The piece of bronze in his chest resumed its slow, sliding-out motion, the pressure against his inside steady, but still not painful, like it was a natural process, like he was giving birth to a fragment of the divine. As it exited, he slumped again, his body stripped completely of the power that had artificially animated it since his battle with the giant. He felt light-headed and nauseated. The image of Oloru behind the desk blurred until it was impossible to tell what he was looking at. He tried to say something, but he couldn't hear his own voice. Around him, bright green spirit particles floated about like fireflies. That was when he noticed that his entire body had loosened without his willing it. The clay that was used to mold him had liquefied, and his knees were sinking into the ground, forming a muddy pool. He was not afraid, but he did not like the feeling. From the first time he had been embodied in that squat, ugly body, to Noma's remolding, to his own manipulations of his form, to Shongo's strike and the fragment it had left behind, to the unconstrained explosion of power into Magog's neck, and now to this, he realized that his body had never truly been in his control.
I'm really getting tired of being changed, transformed, remade, of being broken apart.
But he hoped, no, he believed, that this would be the last time. After his final sundering, this final and complete separation, he would take control. He knew what he was now. He would put himself back together, collect all of himself, and scaffold it around his love for Noma. When he could no longer feel her hand in his, he turned his head to take one final look before his body was completely lost from his control. Noma. Her face was the last thing he saw before he collapsed into a wet, brown, muddy mass, and his consciousness was swallowed whole by the most complete darkness he had ever known. I fall into nothing. I am nothing.